Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we have a fun episode because we are talking about spy animals, not spy kids, spy animals. And you'd be surprised. There are a few stories where we are going to be talking about these different species, how they all played a part in the intelligence community. But before we begin, Shannon, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel as though this topic is topical without us trying, just because of, you know, spy talk in the news with the Chinese weather balloons, well, quote unquote, weather balloons.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had this on the list for a bit now, so that's not us being on it.
It just, these stories come to us, you know?
Yeah, yeah. This one found us, but it was interesting to research, and it's interesting, you know, how many millions of dollars are put into kind of unsuccessful things, and some of them are successful, but a lot of tests are unsuccessful.
That's right.
So I guess we'll just jump right into it. Now, the animal that you're probably thinking of the most is pigeons. And that is correct. Pigeons have the unique ability to be like, to know where home is, and you can throw them out a window and they will come back.
Yes. Have you seen the John Wick movies?
No.
Okay, well, it's kind of spy related. We're just going to like go off track for a second. And there's this guy who's homeless, but he's kind of like the king of the homeless people, if you will. He's like the leader, and he uses pigeons as his intelligence, which is really so smart because they live in the city of New York. And it's just like, imagine being a spy, like the best place to be and kind of like the person to be is a homeless person, because you're everywhere. No one cares to like interact with you. No one wants to, but you're collecting all this intelligence.
See, that sounds very familiar. So maybe I have seen clips of it.
Maybe. It's a good movie. I recommend it to our listeners.
Like he's on a rooftop and all the pigeons are up there?
Yes.
Okay. I've definitely seen at least that part of it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good callback. Yeah. So pigeons have been used for potentially thousands of years to deliver messages throughout the world. And on the record, they were really used in World War I for the first time to gather intelligence. And within the past few years, the CIA has released some files from the 1970s on an operation called Takana. This is where they fitted pigeons with cameras so they could fly over Soviet bases and get photos. So this isn't them delivering messages. They literally have basically like a GoPro attached to their chest as they're flying around, which that's kind of impressive. That I wonder how light the cameras were, especially back in the 70s.
That's a good question.
Maybe they had to like train the pigeons to bulk up, you know?
Lifting those weights.
And they could take multiple photos, or they would take photos automatically, I guess. And I did see another similar operation that was done. I forget with what animal, I don't think it was pigeons. I think it was a hawk or something, but the hawks could only, the camera that they fitted, it could only take one photo. And so that's so much work to get one photo. And if you mess up, that's a problem. But with these pigeons in the 70s, they were able to take multiple photos over the Soviet bases. And they were the obvious choice, of course, because they could be dropped there and fly home so they get the camera back. And actually, the quality of the photographs was higher than the spy satellites at the time. So it did actually help out a lot.
That's crazy.
But curiously enough, a lot of the documents from this operation are still classified. So they only released a little bit recently. I think it was in 2019 that they released the first chunk. But we don't really know the full extent of how the pigeons were used or what they brought back and how important it was and everything, because it is all still classified. But the pigeons were in the service then, for sure.
It's kind of weird because now I'm thinking about the pigeons that I see every day. And it could be a spy pigeon, especially now in this climate.
Well, and the cameras have only gotten smaller.
Right. So who knows?
Just the inconspicuous pigeon flying around. Mm-hmm. But we don't need to start getting paranoid. One of the more quirky ones that I found was Operation Acoustic Kitty, which I also love anyway. It sounds like a band name.
It does. It really does.
I went to go see Acoustic Kitty last night.
It rocked.
It rocked. So in the 1960s, the CIA wanted to bug an Asian head of state, and they decided to do so through a cat. So they came up with this 3/4-inch transmitter that they embedded in the skin at the base of the cat's skull. So they're going in.
Wow.
They put a microphone in the cat's ear canal, and then an antenna was woven in its fur and went up its tail.
Woof.
And then it just kind of like did its thing. It walked into the room, tried to pick up info. But the problem with cats, and you'll see this later on, the problem with cats is they aren't very well trained. And so they kind of just did whatever they wanted to do. They weren't obedient. And the CIA ended up dropping the project because they just could not get the cats to like go close to the target or whatever they needed them to do. They could not get them to do. But yeah, they full on went in there and chipped a cat, which made me think about all the chips that we get in dogs for location and stuff. And it's like basically that, but a transmitter.
Right. The antenna into the long fur and tail, like that's really what's getting me. I'm like, ugh.
I don't think they cut that in. I think they just kind of wove it in.
Okay. So it's not like it's hurting the cat.
No.
Okay. I can handle that a little bit. But yeah, I'm just like imagining, because yeah, if a cat is super friendly, it's probably trying to like get pet, you know, by these people. But if not, they're very independent.
Yeah, they don't need you.
Mm-mm.
And I did see another one that was with rats. Dead rats, where basically stuff dead rats and keep them in alleys and stuff. And so you would just see, they basically wanted to make it as gross as possible so nobody would go pick up the rat. And then they would stuff the rat with whatever they needed to do. Like if it was money or equipment or something that the spy needed to get, he would pick up the dead rat because he knew that it was, I mean, it was a real dead rat, but they took out all the guts and they put in whatever he needed, but nobody else would pick up the dead rat.
Right. That's disgusting, but I get it. It's actually kind of smart.
It is smart. I just, I'm glad, I feel bad for the person who had that job, you know, that had
to
gut the rat.
Not fun.
Now, through all of this research, I found that particularly with the pigeons, some of these pigeons were decorated members of the military. They had been awarded the Dickin Medal, and I had to go and check to see what that was. What is this medal? Why are pigeons wearing this medal? That's adorable.
That's adorable. I love it.
So the Dickin Medal is a medal that honors the work of animals in the military. You might have heard of it. Maria Dickin was the founder of the People's Dispensary for Sick Animals, which was a British veterinary charity. And she established the award for animals displaying gallantry and devotion to duty while serving the British Empire. So it started in about 1943, and it was awarded 54 times between 1943 and 1949. So that's pretty high up in, you know, 6 years? Yeah, it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. In the recipients, we have 32 pigeons, 18 dogs, 3 horses, and a single cat. And that's what I was saying before, you know, like, I know there's a lot of cat lovers out there. I get it. But when we're talking about gallantry and devotion, those typically aren't the words we use to describe a cat. We have 18 dogs.
I am obsessed. Like, I love that all these animals got this award. It's adorable. That's all I have to say. I'm obsessed.
And the award carries through to today. Animals are still getting recognized. And there's a whole list online if you want to see it. And it's really funny because you see all their names. So each like pigeon has a name and it's really cute.
Adorable.
You know, for pigeons, it was mostly they were delivering life-saving messages in record time. You know, like there's like stories of the pigeon going through these headwinds and it still made it back in record time. My heart.
I'm emotional.
I was emotional. I'm like, why am I like tearing up looking at this list of animals?
Oh my God. I have a tear.
Many of the dogs were awarded for rescuing people from the rubble during the Blitz. And the horses were in like a lot of controlling traffic kind of situations where, you know, they had the police had to try to divert people from one area to another. And of course, delivering supplies. There were even some dogs that were delivering, you know, life-saving medicine. We think Balto, basically Balto, but make it World War II.
Mm-hmm.
Now that made me curious about the one cat because this must be a special cat, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're gonna highlight the cat. The cat's name is Simon.
Simon broke down some barriers and some discrimination against cats. He brought, you know, the cat's a good name.
To this day, he's still the only cat to be awarded this medal.
Wow.
Yes. So Simon was smuggled on board a British ship in Hong Kong back in the 40s. And he was awarded the Dickin Medal after surviving artillery shell. He had shrapnel all in him. He raised morale and he was awarded for killing off a rat infestation on the ship.
What a hero.
All the sailors loved him. They got into a skirmish of sorts and poor Simon got hurt. They all thought he was going to die, but he pulled through. He raised morale on that ship and he was awarded the medal. Apparently people were writing letters to him. He had he was known across the world for this feat.
Oh my God. How adorable. I'm like picturing it. You know, I feel like as an emotional support animal, that must have been so nice just to have Simon on the boat.
Yeah.
He's with us, chilling. He's fighting the good fight. And that's just so sweet.
The picture of Simon online is pretty funny. Like he has this kind of look about him that's like he doesn't care. Like he knows he's cool, you know? He has got that kind of to him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I'm one sad thing is that he died. I didn't mean to say that.
That's the one sad thing about him.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
This is a decorated cat, okay, we're talking about. Don't you dare laugh in his name.
I'm sorry. So after the battle, when the ship was returning home, he and everybody else had to go in quarantine. That was like protocol. And he unfortunately died in quarantine, even though there were many people looking after him and trying to keep him good. I think there was something about the infection to the artillery shell wounds. I mean, he didn't die immediately after the shelling, but
mm-hmm.
I think it was probably like a few months they thought he was going to die right away. But it wasn't until he got back on British soil that he did pass away. And he has like a headstone and everything, decorated citizen.
R.I.P. Simon. You know, he knew. He was like, I cannot die on their watch. Like, I have to wait until we get home,
mm-hmm.
and then I can start feeling the feels, but like, I'm here for my boys.
Right.
How amazing. I love that.
So that's the story of the only cat on the Dickin Medal award list.
It's beautiful.
Just calling out for all cats. You can step up your game and maybe more of you can be on the list.
Yeah. Be like Simon. What are you doing?
Be like Simon.
Yeah. What would Simon do?
What would Simon do?
Yeah. I think everybody's going to have a conversation with their cat after listening to this episode. No more excuses.
No more excuses. Pull your weight.
We're putting it to bed. Well, that was a fun story, but you want to know what else is a fun story? a sponsor. First, we gotta take a quick sponsor break. And we're back. Okay, I know. I was teasing for our next story. This story is actually what inspired this episode. We were thinking there couldn't just be this one animal that was a spy. And this one animal that, you know, sparked our interest was a beluga whale. So you're probably thinking, how is a beluga whale a spy? You know, the pigeons make sense. Even the cat, you know, it kind of makes sense. But back in April of 2019, there was a sighting in Norway where there was a beluga whale and it was swimming past a fisherman's boat. And so these fishermen were like, hey, what's up? Why are we seeing this? Because where they're at, which is like pretty much close to like the Arctic water, if not is the Arctic water, it's just very uncommon, very rare to be spotting them. So it immediately brought up like a red flag for these fishermen. So this fisherman named Joar Heston, probably mispronouncing that, well, he sent images to a marine biologist to ask for assistance as the whale looked tied down. So he was like, hey, I got a beluga whale. How can we help this guy? So in the meantime, while they're waiting for the whale to be rescued, he got in his suit and jumped into the water and freed the whale, but retrieved a harness. And to his surprise, there was a camera mount with an inscription saying equipment of St. Petersburg, aka St. Petersburg, Russia. Mm-hmm. So he knew there was something spy related to the whale. So an investigation was launched by Norway's intelligence agency, which is just interesting because in my mind, I really think of like the British and America's intelligence agency, but really like every country has their own. And they deemed the whale was likely to have been a part of the Russian reach. Russia has a history of training marine animals such as dolphins for military purposes, and they found through satellite pictures that they had whale pens near their naval bases. So they definitely were training these whales for secret intelligence. There was a Russian colonel who made a comment on it, and he said that they were using the beluga whales for tasks of civil information rather than gathering military tasks, which is kind of, okay, suspicious, but if that's the narrative you're trying to bring, okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they tried to say, oh, no, it's chill, but I don't know. So this whale, if you're wondering, his name was Vladimir, which Haval, if I'm pronouncing it right, means whale in like Norwegian. And then you have Vladimir for the Russian president. So they kind of did like a little combo moment.
It means whale in Russian, not
Norwegian. Oh, I thought it was Norwegian. Okay.
Well, it's coming from Russia. So isn't that? Oh, did the Norwegians name it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they had the name from Russia. Okay.
We just got the Vladimir part.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm up.
So they did a little combo moment. The thing is, though, even though the Russians were tied to this, they really weren't the only ones who were doing this. So the U.S. and a handful of other countries have also trained marine life for military use. So in the U.S., it's estimated that sea lions have recovered millions of dollars worth of U.S. torpedoes and instrumentation that has been dropped on the ocean floor. And this is because they have an incredible underwater eyesight, so they use that to their advantage to get these stuff.
So cool.
So cool. And then dolphins, which are, of course, one of the most intelligent mammals, have a better biosonar than anything we can man-make, and they have been trained to seek out mines and ships. Whoa.
Right?
That's crazy. They're also really good guards and can detect swimming in a port and can alert security of intruders. And I mean, like, doesn't even surprise me. They're just so intelligent. They can do anything.
They're so helpful.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love dolphins.
That's kind of crazy that they can, I mean, I guess it makes sense, but they know if somebody's swimming in a whole area, you know, like a whole port they can detect. That's pretty freaking cool.
Exactly. Love it. So back to our friends, our whale, a beluga whale. He ended up having a decent life after he was found. He did struggle with feeding because he really wasn't able to feed himself. I think he was just so trained, like he wasn't able to. He must have gotten captured when he was a bit because there was some, he like needed people to help him. So like the Norway fisheries would help and step in. They were able to recover and he was able to feed himself, but there was a period of time where he kind of had to learn all of those things, but he should have known. So it's kind of like an interesting thing of like what happens to these animals. Mm-hmm. But for now, he eats and sleeps at a fish farm and he absolutely loves human interaction. He's very friendly and a lot of people have taken pictures with him. But again, it's probably because it comes from his background of being so well trained. So, but one thing I did think was interesting through my research is we really don't know what was on the camcorder. I have to imagine maybe the footage was just corrupt because it probably had been a very long time. We also don't really know exactly what he was trained to do. I mean, yeah, we probably know and can predict some things, like he must have had a certain route, but like what was his mission? That's what I want to know, like what was his thing. So here's the thing, we'll never know.
Yeah, it's probably a classified thing. If the government does know, it's classified.
Exactly, yep. So that completes today's episode. We hope you had fun. This was a fun episode talking about these fabulous animals. So smart. Shout out to these critters.
Right, I don't know if we've done an episode of like normal creatures. Typically, animals, it's monsters and cryptids and stuff. So it was nice to research some real life ones and some heroes.
That's right. I love it. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We hope you guys enjoyed and be sure to stay tuned to our next episode. But until then, be sure to follow us on our Instagram at BareRootsPod, B-A-R-E. And also follow us on whatever streaming platform you listen to. We are there, Spotify, Apple, we are there. So be sure to tell a friend and we'll talk to you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Biosonar?
Biosonar.
Thank you. I know I was saying it wrong. That's why I paused. Dolphins have a better biosonar. Isn't it sonar, though? Like, I get it's an AR, but don't we all say sonar?
No.
Biosonar? Biosonar. Dolphins have a better biosonar than anything we can. Biosonar. Biosonar. Can't do this word. Biosonar. Just,
like, pretend it's hyphenated. Biosonar.
Biosonar. Okay.